Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Ni No Kuni, which is not what I said it was last week, and I have no idea why I said Ni No Kuni last week, but yes, no, it is Ni No Kuni or Ni No Kunai, and that is what we're watching. But before that, we were talking about some ideas and plans and kind of talking about, again, Sakura from Naruto and, you know, Rick's general obsession with Naruto in general. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or if you want to help support us, we do have affiliate links for you in the show notes. Clicking on those links, purchasing anything using those affiliate links, we do get a little bit of a kickback, and it is very much appreciated. And if you choose to support us by buying our own swag, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And of course, for everything else, you can go to featuredanimepodcast.com for all the links and everything that we have been talking about. And now on to the meat and brotatoes. I almost did it again.
Just for all intents and purposes, Ni No Kuni is interchangeable with the actual name.
Right. Ni No Kunai, or Ni No Kunai came out in August 2019. Studio for it is OLM. Producer for it is Level 5, which is also the maker of the game. The source is a game, so it is based on the game. The genres for it are action, adventure, fantasy, and isekai. And it ran for about an hour, 46 minutes.
And you felt every one of the minutes.
Yes, you most positively did. There was never a moment where you didn't feel that time go by slowly, painfully, horribly.
The only saving grace to this movie, in my personal opinion, was the animation. It was flawless. The animation style was amazing. I loved every second of it. I just wish that it had better everything else.
Okay. Sure. I'll take your word on it.
Wait, you disagree?
I don't think that the animation was flawless. I think, you know, it did have its flaws.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so Ni No Kuni, or Ni No Kuni.
There you go.
I plan on using them interchangeably, because that's what I've been calling it for the last week, and it's going to be hard as heck, given my affinity with names, to say it correctly.
So it starts off with Yusuke Urameshi, and it has... Oh, wait, no, sorry. Wrong you. My bad. I'm sorry. It has you, Haru, and Kotona, who enjoy a very kind of like plain high school life, with the exception that Yu is paraplegic. So for those who don't know, that means that he is paralyzed from the waist down. He can't walk, but he is in an electric wheelchair, so it helps him get around. But he is also very intelligent. Whereas his friend Haru is very athletic, very short-sighted, in the sense that he jumps first, asks questions later type of ideology. One day, a suspicious person ends up stabbing Kotona, and Haru grabs Kotona, picks her up, and as they're running, they narrowly miss getting hit by a truck while they're trying to run and get her to a hospital. And at that point, the two of them anyways, get teleported to this new alternate world. They get isekai'd. Trakun did not do a very good job since they survived the initial attempt, unfortunately.
Unfortunately is correct.
Right. As a result of them being transported to the world, they figure out that there are people in this alternate reality, alternate world, where they are similar. They look identical to the people that are in their world. And you're finding out that whatever happens in this world also happens in their world. And
kind of like a mirror.
Exactly. And that's kind of what it is. It's a mirrored fantasy, fantastical style world is what it is.
Well, and here's the part that kind of frustrates me. Our main character doesn't really exhibit, how should I put this? Intelligence beyond swinging a sword.
And I'm assuming we're talking about, what's his face? Haru, right? The jock.
Yes.
Yeah. And to be fair, I mean, like, I can totally see him acting like that because he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. By any stretch of the words, by any stretch of the imagination, he's not the sharpest tool in the shed.
Yes, but he is blessed with physical prowess.
Yes.
Popularity, physical prowess, and I don't know academically how he's doing, because I don't think they ever bring that up. But as far as physicality goes, far beyond what someone his age should be able to should be capable of, as we usually see in these shows where kids are super badass and they lose it into adulthood.
I can see that. But one of the things, and what really kind of helps tie together, one, his stupidity, and two, the fact that they're tied together, is, as stated in the beginning, Kotona, the main female protagonist, or Asha, as her alternate reality is called, gets stabbed. Kotona gets stabbed, and in this mirrored world, there she is cursed by this dagger that Yu is able to pull out. Now, one of the differences in between their reality and this alternate reality, one of the biggest differences, aside from one it being fantastical, magical, and everything like that, is that Yu can actually walk. In this alternate reality,
you can do more than just walk. Everything and anything you can possibly hope for in this alternate reality, magic.
Well, I was talking about one of the key differences for him specifically.
Gotcha.
It's a fantastical world. Obviously, curses and things like that are very, like, they're linked. But for him specifically, he can walk. Whereas if in our world, our reality, he is paralegic.
I wonder, everyone that you see in here, most of everyone, has their pair, their doppelganger, let's call it.
Right.
And what happens to one happens to the other. Like, they both die or they both survive, right?
Right.
Your opinion, how is it possible that they too can also, like, as main characters, they can recognize that there are other people who resemble uncannily everyone in their life, right?
Yeah.
How bizarre would it be for them to go looking for their doppelganger?
They probably are their doppelganger in that world. That's probably why he's able to walk. Or there is no one like them in that alternate world. And I'm more inclined to believe that.
Okay. You're thinking like America from Marvel, where she's the only one, so that's why she can leap between two worlds, five worlds, 10 worlds. Similar situations here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they do have people, they do have histories, they do have knowledge of people going between worlds, and they call them wayfarers.
Yes.
Not really sure why, but I don't know.
I mean, they also call, you know, like, another way of saying it is like travelers.
Okay, I guess I can see that, but it's what qualifies you? You got to be a hero? The other person's got to be dead? Like, what?
Well, they said they have to have hero characteristics or heroic traits, and I'm assuming a gate has to be open, so there has to be a need for a hero in the world or in that timeline.
I guess that makes sense.
Because that's how they described it, how they stated it, right? They stated it that they were heroes or had heroic qualities, and that's typically what a wayfarer does, and they're usually only around in times of need is what I would assume at that point then, if they're thought to be legendary.
Well, I mean, we find out.
But it also can't be later. That. It also can't be that infrequent or that rare if they do have a name for them and they know about them.
I mean, I understand that too, but my point of concern, let's call it, is the old man who's like a foot and a half tall that we see doing this dance trance thing, and he's like, I'm calling down a gateway into the other world. And when you look at it, you're like, this old man's nuts. What old world are you talking about? What different world are you? And he turns out to be more or less correct. And it still doesn't save him from like the attempt of being eaten. But it's just one of those things that I thought he was just crazy. I thought he was just straight insane. And then he shows up.
Harsh. So harsh.
I figured he was a crazy old man, a crazy old coot.
You know what?
And everyone else treated him as such.
You never know, man. You know what? See if I invite you over to my alternate world next time, sir. See if I invite you to my alternate reality.
I'll be on the first plane. I will be there before you find out. Magic? I've seen way too many animes. We're going. Right. We will be rulers.
You'll be my jester. I will be the king.
I will be the jester that snaps his fingers and all of a sudden a distant kingdom explodes.
It's not the point. I don't care about the technicalities of what you do. You're there purely for my amusement.
I would be Megumin. Art is an explosion.
I expect you to yell out, explosion!
Oh, dude, every single time.
Every time. Every time. Yes.
God, that's awesome.
All right. Back on track.
Getting back on track. There were the Megumin in here, unfortunately.
Sadly.
Yeah. And it was frustrating for me because you could clearly tell that this magic man who stabbed their friend, obviously wasn't of this world. I mean, that's the only way I could describe that. Because whenever they're chasing him, he disappears. But our two main characters, our wheelchaired
you,
yeah. I was gonna say you, but it can be confusing.
Just say you. We know who you are talking about. You're talking about you.
You ended up cradling this girl in his arms because he's in love with her straight up, but he's a good friend because his friend is like in the process. Okay, so wait,
hang on. Are we backtracking here to the beginning where she was stabbed after I said
just
that
a little bit?
Oh my God.
Just a little bit because there's a point. I promise.
Besides the dagger going into her, I hope there is.
Yes. So besides the dagger, it is my first instance of really, really despising our other main character.
Oh, where he's pissed off about
why are you holding her like that?
He's like, bro, he's paraplegic. He's paralyzed. How is he supposed to hold her? He's on the ground. He's like holding her. He's like, bro, I don't know how to stand up. Supporting her head. Yeah.
Supporting her head because she fell backwards. Like he's the protecting. He's protecting her and getting basically reamed by what I assume is a lifelong friend.
I would assume so, but that fool is, he's got
frustrating.
He's
the worst character that I expected to have a redemption arc or a redemption. Got it.
He never had it. He never will get it. And you know what? You were made to hate the guy. He was the dumb. He was the hated one. And there was no redemption for it. He was supposed
to be lovable.
And I just don't understand why they chose to write him in such a way and not give him any redemption at all whatsoever.
Well, see, we'll talk about that later. But his
I wouldn't even consider that. I really wouldn't. But like you said,
yeah, it was not a redemption. I agree with you. But right. it was glossed over. It was like just automatically assumed he was a good person. And he did nothing to prove that. In fact, he actually went opposite. And I know that you're supposed to have in this duality, in this world, you're supposed to have your partner, your opposite, your whatever, right?
Right. The thing that I kind of found interesting, and to the reason why you say your duality, your opposite. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just want to get this out before I forget.
Fair enough.
It made me think that they were linked, and even though they looked differently, they were linked in the world versus one and the other, mainly because when they were seen fighting together, they commented on them being like the exact same person.
Yeah, and they're so in sync. They're able to communicate without talking.
Yes.
I thought that was kind of cool. I mean, it makes a lot of sense because what was that other kid's name? Please.
Haru?
Haru, yes. So Haru was the physical one, and Yu was the smart one. And together, they made one badass person. And case in point, in the very beginning, he's playing a basketball game, and he remarks, you know, thanks to your advice, I was able to kick ass. And you're right. I didn't notice that he was weak on this side. In sports, you'd figure someone around you, or even you, not you, the character, but Haru, would understand and advance without the aid of somebody else. It means he's a weak person, weak-willed, weak-informed. He doesn't care enough to look around. Everything will be provided him, living a very blessed and lucky life.
Yeah.
Whereas you, hardship, paraplegic, as you said. Well, is it a paraplegic if you can't walk? I thought paraplegic was everything.
That's quadriplegic.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. So yeah, he's in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden he's able to walk, no issues, once they go into this other world.
Right. And what's really, really interesting is seeing the dynamic in Haru's overall mentality. You feels the direct connection to the world versus Haru, who feels no connection to the world. He views it as a dream. He doesn't view it as an actual reality, despite the fact they're able to feel pain and everything like that. They're experiencing real emotions and hardships. They're there for longer than a couple of hours. They're there for a full night, full day, 24 hours, basically. And how you chooses to approach the situation, he understands and almost inherently, almost instinctively, that there is a direct connection in between their world and the world they're in. And everything that he sees, going about, because he sees the connection of the person who adopted him, who's called Saki, or who he calls Sister Saki.
Sisaki.
And then sees the person, Bertha, in the other world, who is the spitting image of Sisaki. And same thing for Asha, who is the princess in the world, and you have Kotona, who is the girlfriend in the other world. However, yeah, Haru princess. Immediately jumps to conclusions when anything bad happens, after they basically save Asha from the dagger, pull it out, Kotona is fine. Haru doesn't see the similarities, like, oh, it must have been just a really bad dream, and everything's okay, everything's fine. Whereas he understands that the reason why Kotona is okay is because they saved Asha, and because they saved Asha, Kotona is okay. He understands that on a fundamental level, and it's just not that way for Haru. He immediately, because what ends up happening is Kotona ends up finding out that she has a tumor and that she's dying. She only has X amount of time to live. You almost instinctively realizes, oh, something bad. Yeah, there's a connection. Something bad must be happening in the other world, and it's leading up to her death. So we have to go back. Especially when
they gave that 3-month timeline.
Right. We have to go back. Haru, on the other hand, he's like, no, the reason why she's dying is because Asha lived. We have to kill Asha. We have to kill her. It's like, wait, whoa. You, I mean, like, you saw, and this is my problem, right? All that is to say, this is my one of my biggest problems with Haru. He sees the dagger inside Kotona. Like, she's bleeding, she's dying, everything, right? The dagger is in her. He sees it. Goes to the other world. The exact same dagger that was in Kotona is in Ashina, or Asha. And his response, his reaction is, oh, no, it's totally unrelated at all. It's like, no. I would be almost 100% certain that it is 100% related to each other.
Yeah, use your big boy brain.
Yeah, that was...
It's frustrating because it's literally laid out in front of him. And so in the process of trying to save the princess, three shamans of renown came in and did this whole dance thing and then exploded, right?
Yeah.
When they got back to their world, three very similar people exploded.
Yeah. They were all dead.
Well, I mean,
well, not exploded. Dead. They died through various circumstances, but I mean, it's like a key indicator number one right there.
Yeah. What happens to one, it happens to the other, but Haru won't listen. He's so fanatical that, you know, he came to his own conclusion that we saved a life. We must now take it.
Yeah.
And everyone else that I know would look at that and go, hold on, probably not.
Yeah.
And then when somebody else outside of them kind of confirms that that's the thing, oh no, I'm going to listen to this evil dude who's clearly not on the side of good and clearly wants me to kill the princess. I mean, he must be telling the truth, or they must be telling the truth.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it goes to show the mentality. And honestly, it's a lot of people that are like that. He prefers to hear an echo chamber with things that side with his ideology, his belief, versus venturing out and hearing the opposite side and hearing what's being said and hearing their arguments as to why they feel like they're correct. He's completely shut off and he doesn't want to hear anything that's in opposition to his own ideology. And we as human species are inherently like that. And that's the one thing that I can kind of connect with is I don't always like hearing when something goes against my particular viewpoint or belief. I'll listen to it, but I don't necessarily like it when it's something in opposition to it, because it's like, oh, I strongly believe, or I strongly view this and I want to believe this.
Yeah. You got a Skiller and Moldy situation. I want to believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you believe in magic?
You know, no, just, and throughout the whole thing, this kid keeps getting fooled and manipulated and for some weird reason does not trust his lifelong friend, whom up until this point he trusted implicitly, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, it's because his friend's not giving him the answer that he wants.
Well, for a long time, it was almost disgusting to the point where he was incredibly jealous of you. Like, Haru wasn't in the limelight, so he felt jealous and almost despised you for being in the limelight, being noticed.
Yeah.
Being more, you know?
Yeah. I get that. I can understand that. I don't like it when you do all your solo episodes without me, sir. It needs to be all about me.
Yeah. Considering one of our highest rated download things ever is your solo. Uh-huh.
No. We don't know that. That may have changed. I haven't checked lately. We'll figure that out later. Anyhoosers.
I haven't checked lately.
Anyhoosers. Yeah, that's... I mean, I feel like Haru is kind of relatable. He's kind of a guy you can relate to on a weird kind of level, even though he's not liked. He's actually very despised. I don't like the guy, but I can relate to him in his mentality because I see it, and I know that I've been like that in the past, where it's like, no, I am right. And this person, rando person over here, is telling me I'm right, so it must be true, even though they're wrong too. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a bias, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just the change up made no sense whatsoever. You know,
mm-hmm.
where you go trusting someone and all of a sudden they're wrong. I'm trusting this brand new person who suits my interests.
Yeah, no, it was a night and day flip. Like, we're like breakneck speed out of nowhere. Haru ends up being like this. And one of the things that I kind of have a hard time understanding too is why did like I understand they got transported to the other world and everything like that, but at what point does it state that they become inherently good with weaponry and swords and know how to do it? I mean, like, they're only there for not even a full, like, not even 2 full days or anything like that. They're barely there for an X amount of time. And
that's your question.
Of contention. What? I have multiple points of a contention. All right. I have multiple points of contention. Honestly, this movie, I haven't said anything positive about the movie yet. Right. I said, I agree with the guy. I hated the guy, but I agree with him, but that's nothing positive. So here, let me talk about something positive here.
Okay.
Aside from the character animation, which I'm not a huge fan of, it's all right. It's passable. I loved the background scenery.
I'm going to agree with you, like, a lot. And when I say the animation quality, that's mainly what I'm talking about. This is kind of a throwback, very off topic. I understand that. I'm okay with it. You've played Halo before, right?
No.
Once or twice.
Maybe.
You didn't just introduce me to it. You didn't carry me through most of 1, 2, and 3.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
One of the things that draws me to that isn't the story so much as it is the attention to detail in the background. Right. And there was a lot of that here. There was a lot of, I was mainly focused on everything in the forefront. Yes. But when the times that Haru was on screen, I was like, what's the background look like?
Yeah.
And crisp, clear, just incredibly detailed. And there was no blurring when there shouldn't have been. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So some anime I've seen where the background kind of blurs together, like the focus is the forefront and things kind of just merge.
Right.
Whereas here, everything was crisp. Everything was I guess, a detail. It's just another way of saying really well done.
Okay. If you're joining us for the live stream, I have a picture up where the front is very crisp and clean and the back is a little blurred. So I don't.
Oh, don't you dare.
I don't think we can.
But again, it's a Haru scene. Those don't count.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll allow it. This one's. I'll allow it this one. Yeah. Why not? Sure. Sure.
Oh, man. So it's just. A lot of this was unlikable. A big point of contention for me, it has very little to do with the sword play. Although I agree, it is a bit interesting how good they were and how in sync they were. My thing was, how did you start walking with no prior experience, having perfect balance and full function and full everything? Like, and it wasn't like, oh, my legs haven't worked in forever and they're strong. No, he had like muscles and he was able to jump endurance.
Wait. You can't judge his plot legs. All right. You can't judge the plot legs.
Ooh. I'm so happy you didn't go Spy Kids on me saying that he was in the wheelchair so much that his energy rebounded back into him. And when he finally got legs, he was able to like finally focus and unleash this massive potential he's been holding and hiding.
Is that what you want to go with? We can do that. I mean, like, if that's what you want to roll.
I said okay. I was glad you didn't go Spy Kids on me.
But then you started spelling it out. I mean, like, I feel like you wanted to go that direction, man.
No. I was trying to help people who haven't
had the curse of seeing
Spy Kids,
you know, growing up. We don't need to discuss that. We don't need to discuss that, man. Just enjoy the plot legs that's in this
movie. Plot legs. Then it's plot fighting skill.
Look, his plot legs come with a lot of armor, okay? You can't judge him on that. You can't judge him.
Speaking of armor. Oh god, when Haru put on that black armor, I was like, dude, looking badass. And then you find out that he's uber strong because the suit amplifies his already gargantuan strength. I was like, this is going to be a good fight. And all of a sudden, he's just ragdolling everyone. And then when Yu shows up, they're evenly matched. How strong was Yu to begin with? And how weak was Haru?
Haru was very, very weak. And Yu was always stronger. I mean, like, you couldn't tell from the when he saved Haru during the fighting scene or any other time. Like, it wasn't plainly obvious that Yu is the master of all with his plot legs.
Again, he should have been.
He's plot Yu. He's got the plot Yu. All right. He plot Yu.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing about this made sense. This was horrible. This is a bad anime. This is a bad movie. We've had a string of bad movies.
Maybe if you chose some more Ghibli,
we'd be happier. I blame CJ, who is in our chat.
Right.
It's his fault and no one else's.
Well, no. See, here's the thing. He only ever, when he leaves, we have mistakes. When he leaves, we've had issues. So
it's his fault.
He needs
so
to stick around.
What you're saying he is needs it to is
stick around. No, no. I'm saying it partially, okay. He needs to stick around to when we start releasing the anime names so that we have a better chance of having good ones.
Right.
Yes. Yes, you.
CJ in our chat. CJ in our chat says, me? I'm an angel of despair and sadness. But that's all right. I mean, like, hey, if you want to, and for anyone else interested in joining and hanging out with us in our chat or anything like that, we do stream our episodes live on YouTube. You are always, always welcome to hang out with us, except for CJ, who apparently likes to abandon us.
Well, so here's the thing. I thought, sorry to cut you off, but this I think is relevant. He wrote, I'm an angel. I wrote, I am angel. And my immediate thought was, the guy that keeps giving us really awesome.
How is that relevant? How is that relevant? Isn't that relevant?
We were just saying he doesn't stick around, so we have crap anime when he's not here. He needs to stick around, so it's better.
No, I read, no, because we've had back on track. All right, since you want to stay off track, I'm forcing you on the rails, sir. I want to know what the hell that little yellow creature was that was floating around that they called Dandy or something like that. Like, what was his purpose, right? Because it seemed like he was supposed to be a pretty powerful but tiny creature, but he really wasn't. He was just kind of there.
His power was in the words.
Power in the words. Okay.
What I want to know is, who is that pink dog thing that was with him?
That's a great question, too. At first, I thought that was Kotona.
I thought it was her, too.
And I felt like that she was that creature because Asha was already there. So they couldn't have two people be at the exact same time, but I guess not.
Well, I mean, that's not true.
Like, no, saying two people. So you can't have Kotona and Asha be there simultaneously at the exact same time.
I repeat myself that's not true.
How?
It's kind of a spoiler if you're willing.
No, I'm saying that was my first initial reaction.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I'm like, did you watch the movie? Because, but you know, I thought,
I mean, I only said they, like, when it came out, like, you gotta leave some for the taste buds, man. You gotta leave a little bit for the tantalization.
All right, well, delete that part then. But yeah, I automatically thought that it was her, but not because I thought they couldn't be in the same area at the same time, but because it just happens to be everywhere they are. It happens to be loyal to one or the other.
Right. So same thing, right? Same thing, yeah, that you, like, can't
proximity.
Have proximity. Right.
It just felt weird. It felt, I still don't know. I thought maybe it was the old man. I thought maybe the old man was there, but then nearer to the end, the old man and this thing was still there together at the same time. And I'm like,
yeah,
what was the point? What was the point of having this thing there? Right. And another kind of sort of point the Wayfarer, as they called these people who transverse the worlds.
Right.
They weren't the original Wayfarers. They couldn't have been. The old man was trying to open gates between worlds, and maybe he was successful. Who knows? But the messenger, let's call it, that kept trying to kill everybody, he was already there. So he was the original Wayfarer. Everyone right. else was just piggybacking off of those connections, I think.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. But again, you know, they had like legends and things like that of it. So I would assume that they probably had more people there for it, you know, like yes, they had others that actually showed up.
I mean, sure. Yeah, there's a lot of loopholes, not loopholes, a lot of plot holes here that just don't make a whole lot of sense, you know?
Right.
But anyway, I really can't say too much more without giving too much away.
I mean, like the ending is pretty self-evident, but we'll let y'all watch it to really get the meat and potatoes of it all.
Yeah.
So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
The premise seems okay. Based on the story, I would say I'd give it like a 6 off the story. Visuals, I'd give it a 6 as well. Unfortunately, with the drawbacks, the characterization of everyone that was important was lackluster at best. That's a 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the Haru was incredibly disingenuous and unlikable. So that would be a 0.
Right.
So I'm a meet in the middle for all of them. I'm going to go 4. It's something that I enjoyed watching the first time around, lighthearted. I didn't have to think too much. The movie basically did my thinking for me. They showed me a lot. They didn't tell me too much. If you want to just like zone out and right. have something on that is mildly entertaining,
mm-hmm. okay.
this would be it. But right. if you try to focus on any of the actual details, you're going to just upset yourself.
Right. So, so before I give my rating, you said something interesting and I just want to touch on it. Right.
Okay.
Tell me real quick.
Yeah.
Cause I said, you know, at that, when the dog was there and then I saw Ashta, do you want me to save this question for the post show?
No, put it on. What you okay. got?
When I said that, I felt like, that little dog there was Kotona, because Ashta was there when I saw Ashta, and so they turned her into that little pink dog, right? Then you asked me if I had seen the show. Could you clarify what you were referencing?
What do you mean? I'm confused by the question.
You had said, you asked me if I had seen the movie, because I said,
yeah,
at that point and that at that time, the dog being there was Kotona, and that Ashta was Ashta, because you can't have the exact same person there at the exact same time. And then you asked me if I had seen it. Could you clarify what you mean really quick for me?
I could, but it'd be a massive spoiler.
Okay, that's fine. Spoil it.
Okay. So you and Haru are both the same person. They're doppelgangers. So Haru...
Right.
Was from our world, and you was from this world.
Right. Somehow, that's the hypothesis that even Haru was coming up with. Yes. And that is the assumption that both you and I had said. However, they both don't look alike and they're not identical. Yes. We already talked about that. Okay.
Yeah. But having them somehow, the real Wayfarer was you. He teleported himself somehow from the fantasy world into our world to protect his alter ego, or not his doppelganger, if you will. And he acted, according to what they were saying, as a kind of guardian, keeping him on the straight and narrow. Like, he wasn't he wasn't mentally capable, but he was physically capable. And Haru was the reverse of that. My thought process was, they mentioned that staying in the other world too long was of a detriment. Like, that would end up hurting you, right?
Yeah, they said
he was a paraplegic because he was there for so long.
So the reason why he was a paralegic is because of a plane crash. They showed him as a baby during the plane crash, and that's why he was in the hospital and grew up in the hospital.
So that's so confusing. How does a wayfarer come over as a baby?
Well, they didn't say that he was a wayfarer as a baby, and they said, and my personal feelings on it is the reason why Ashta was telling you this is because she didn't want him to feel like he had to say. She wanted him to go and be in his own world because she didn't know the hardships or anything like that waiting for him back in his home world anyways. So I feel like it was actually a lie.
And how come they fell in love with the same person? They liked the same things. They did the same, like the similarities to the characteristic, granted, physicality aside,
yeah.
The characteristic, the personalities matched too well in who they liked and who they in what their goals were.
Are you talking about Kotsura and Ashta?
No, I'm talking about you and Haru.
So what you're saying is that they have similar likes and dislikes, have similar tastes, and that makes them the same person?
No, the movie itself said that, you know, each counterpart has similar interests, similar likes, and that's why they themselves, that's why you said, or not you, that's why Haru was saying that he was me. He was my other half.
He liked the same girl I did. Yeah, but he also said that that was a theory, and albeit not a good theory, he even said it himself, but he said it's just a theory, his own hypothesis, and that that you showed up in time to protect him already in the wheelchair. However, he grew up in the hospital with the problems and issues already, not there to protect him. Haru never knew you before then, beforehand.
I don't know. I was just going off of what was said at the end of the movie.
Yeah, like, but he said it was a theory.
I felt that they made it very clear that it was more than a theory.
No, not even. Because the old man, if that were the case, the old man would have stayed. And the reason why he went back to the other planet, where it would have been to the detriment of him, right? He went back to Earth. Anyways. And the reason why he went back to our version of reality is because of the nurse. He's like, she's going to be worried about me. I don't want her to have to worry about me.
Agree to disagree. Is that not what he said? Clear. I feel it was rather clear.
Is that not what the old man said?
I don't remember. I don't rightly remember. No, seriously, though. I remember him showing up.
Okay, so
handing off basically Excalibur.
I watched it twice. Okay. And the last time I watched it was just last night. So that's why I remember it.
Okay, so you might have a better idea. Did you watch it subbed or dubbed?
Both.
Okay, I watched it dubbed with the subtitles on.
Yes. So, which is why I said travelers, because in Japanese they say travelers. It says wayfarers in subs, but what they're saying is travelers.
Gotcha.
So there are again, it shows the subtle differences in between subs and dubs and the differences in translation. But that old man, him being there for so long, and he was there for years, for the entire time almost that you was even there, and you know this from it showing you talking to him as a kid, as a younger child anyways, that the old man still had no detriment to his health or anything like that. He was still fine. He was still okay. He still walked around. Everything was fine.
Makes sense.
So that's what I wanted to bring up, because I was a little confused. I was like, well, I mean, like, I know that's not the case, but I felt like you may have meant like you feel like they were there. And the only reason why that people are the same, they're identical in their looks and everything like that, is because they're meant to be the exact same person. The difference is you and Haru look vastly different,
which doesn't follow suit with everything else. I agree.
I will say the similarity in likes and all that other stuff does not mean you're the exact same person. It just means that you guys are, you know, they're pretty in sync with each other in terms of likes and dislikes. I feel like you and I are like that a fair amount of the time too. I like to think anyways. I mean, it doesn't mean we're the same person.
I mean, we're disagreeing a lot here.
Are you saying we are the same person?
I mean, AI is a hell of a thing.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, like, go back 4 years ago now.
You know what? Anything can be fabricated.
Pretty close to 4 years now. Jeez.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Indeed. Well, okay. So all that is to say, you know, plot holes, the stories and animation and things like that. I'm going to give it a 5.
Really? I expect you to go far lower than me with like a 2.
No, I'm giving it a 5. The reason why I'm giving it a 5 is because it's piqued my interest just enough for me to check out the game.
Oh, that's right. There's a game about this, huh?
Well, this is based off of the game. The game came out before this.
Oh.
So I know that typically anime or shows that are based on games tend to be far better. So
true.
So that's
Final Fantasy.
Why. Right. So, well, that's all the time that we have for today. Next week's choice, it's going to be the 4 OVAs of Armitage 3. You buddy.
Armitage 3?
Armitage 3.
Armitage. Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
I certainly hope so. I remember seeing this long, long time ago. Like I saw some screenshots.
Yeah, it's hitting real notes of nostalgia.
Right?
Like, yeah. So, I can't quite place it though.
We'll find out here. We'll find out next week.
next week on.
Right. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice or anything like that, feel free to reach out to us. All our contact information and everything like that, it's available to you on our website, featuredanimepodcast.com. If you want to check out the pre and post show that we usually do with every episode, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you want to check us out, hang out with us whenever we record live, we usually do announce that we are going live in our Discord. So feel free to go in there, hang out. We'll, you know, let you know when we're getting ready to go live. We do stream live on YouTube. If you want to buy some swanky swag or anything like that, we do have affiliate links for you in the show notes. If you click on those links, purchase anything using them, we do get a little bit of a kickback and it is very much appreciated. Or if you want to support us by purchasing some of our own swanky swag, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.